John chapter 10, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, the man who does not enter by the gate into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The keeper of the gate opens the gate for him. The sheep know his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." So, of course, we are the sheep of Jesus, and Jesus is the good shepherd, and he knows us each individually by name. Now, that means that we are personally known to him, and we have this personal relationship with Jesus. And this is priceless. This is the most wonderful thing in the world, to have this older brother, this Lord, this Master, shepherd, whatever figure you want to use for Jesus, who is with us and knows us and loves us. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he's brought them out, he goes in front of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow anybody else. In fact, they will run away from any other person because they do not recognize his voice. Jesus told them this parable, but they didn't understand it. That's because, of course, they didn't hear his voice. They weren't really his sheep. And so this is where the word of God or the word of Jesus becomes so important, that it is through this word that we are called. And it is also true that we have been called in different ways to come out from this world to be his sheep. And we know his voice. And he probably had a different tone of voice for every sheep. And so it is in his calling of us, that we hear him slightly differently, we understand him in a slightly different way. It's the same Jesus, but we are still called by him, and it's our attitude to his voice or his word which is so important, even if we may hear it slightly differently to the other sheep, or each sheep hears it individually. Now, in a lot of the Middle East, they shepherd sheep with dogs, and the dogs chase the sheep, and they come barking behind the sheep, and they push the sheep forward like that.
Aren't they called shepherd dogs?
That's right, shepherd dogs, yeah. But they're barking to make the sheep sort of run in front of them. But this shepherd does it differently. He himself goes in front of the sheep and beckons them by his voice. They're not scared into following him, but they respond to his voice. And so it's not that God or Jesus are like scaring us, like barking dogs, but this shepherd is most unusual. He calls each sheep and goes in front of it. Just as Jesus picked up the cross and went in front of us and then said, "I ask you to pick up your cross, my cross, and follow me." Jesus spoke to them again, "I'm telling you the truth. I am the gate, the door to the sheepfold. The others who came before me are like the thieves and the robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Whoever comes in through me will be saved. He will come in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes so as to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came so that they might have life, life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. The hired shepherd, who is not the true shepherd, doesn't really care for the sheep because he doesn't own them. When he sees a wolf coming, he just runs away and leaves the sheep, and therefore the wolf can take the sheep and scatter the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's only hired and doesn't truly care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I know my sheep and they know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And there are other sheep who are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. They will also listen to my voice, and they will become one flock of one shepherd." So I think he's talking firstly about the Jews, the Jewish Christians, and then he has in view that there's going to be Gentiles who also become his sheep. "Therefore the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I might receive it back again. Nobody takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own will. I have the authority to give it, and I have the authority to receive it back. So my Father has commanded me. Though Jesus didn't, as it were, die because he was murdered, but because he consciously gave his life. This is why he died with the words, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." He had the last breath in his lungs and he breathed it out in those words. He consciously gave his life for us. And there was a division among the people because of how he spoke. Many of them said, "He's got a demon, he's crazy. Why listen to him?" But others said, "If this man had a demon, he could not speak like this. How could a demon-possessed person, a crazy person, restore sight to the blind?" It was winter, and it was the time of the festival of the dedication. And so Jesus was walking in the temple in Solomon's porch with the people gathered around him. And he asked, "How long are you going to keep us doubting? Tell us plainly, are you the Christ, the Messiah?" Jesus replied, "I have told you already, but you would not believe me. The things, the works which I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you will not believe, because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they will never die." Well, he doesn't mean that we will not physically die. He means, as often in John's Gospel, that we can start living the eternal life now. We can start living the kind of life which we will live forever in God's kingdom. So if we are in this life full of love for God and wanting to do his work, even though we may be held back and frustrated by lack of resources or our own weakness or the situation in which we live, okay, the great thing is that we want with all our hearts to serve God. And so we will do so forever. So we're starting to live the life eternal now. Nobody can snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, and nobody can snatch them out of his hand. The Father and I are one. What he means is not that Jesus is God, but he means that as the Father is the shepherd, so is Jesus the shepherd. As the Father, that's God, wants to be the shepherd of his people, he does it through Jesus. The people again picked up stones to cast at Jesus, but Jesus said to them, "I have done many good works amongst you, works which the Father gave me to do. For which one of those works do you want to stone me?" They replied, "We don't want to stone you because of your good works, but because of your blasphemy. You are trying to make yourself equal to God." But Jesus replied, "It's written in your own law that God said, 'You are gods.'" So then, he's saying that, he quotes here from Psalm 82, where the word God, or gods, is used about men. And he goes on and he says, "The scripture cannot be broken. God called men gods, the people to whom his message was sent. But as for me, the Father chose me, and I was sent by him. And how then can you say that I am blaspheming, because I only said that I am the Son of God?" So you see, he's saying, no, I'm not God, I'm the Son of God. But actually, in the Old Testament, there were men who were called God, because this word God can have a wide meaning. Like it says that Pharaoh was made God, sorry, that Moses was made God to Pharaoh. "If you will not believe me, that I'm doing the things which my Father sent me to do, then you will in the end die in your sins. At least believe my works and know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." But again they tried to seize Jesus, but he slipped out of their hands. Jesus then returned back across the Jordan River to the place where John the Baptist had been baptizing, and he remained there. Many people came out to him. He told them, "John did no miracle, but everything that he said about this man was true," and many people believed in him there. So we are the sheep of Jesus, and we listen to his voice, and he guides us, and he calls us out, And this is what is so absolutely wonderfully unique about our relationship with Jesus, that this is not mere religion going to church. It is that every day and every moment we are hearing his voice. He's saying, look, over here, no, don't go over there, this way, not that way, this way, well done, come on. If only we will hear his voice.